Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Recently, Cardinal Raymond Burke was interviewed, and he talked about a feminized church. He called it a man crisis in the church. And, of course, he's only observing what you could observe in any church on any Sunday morning, almost any church on any Sunday morning, some to a greater degree, some to a lesser degree. It's a well-known observation that generally black churches tend to be very strongly, predominantly female on Sunday morning. That has its own sociological reasons, I'm sure. American Protestantism, well, we're talking about 2-1 on Sunday morning. 2-1 male, female to male. And then some churches buck the trend. But generally speaking, it is observed that Sunday morning is more and more women and less men. Why is that? I want you to answer that question. Also, whether or not certain things have contributed to it. The inclusion of female assistants in liturgy, whether it be the praise band leader or the girl acolytes or the girl altar boys, has that also contributed to the feminization of Sunday morning? And what about that liturgical, well, some would call it reform. I would call it experimentation. That's what Cardinal Burke calls it. What about, he calls it rampant liturgical experimentation that he believes has also feminized the church? Do you think those things contribute? It's going to be Open Lines, Issues, Etc. live this Monday afternoon, January the 12th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Now, you can also leave your answers at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Have you noticed the feminization of Sunday morning? Have you noticed more women than men? And why do you think that is? Before we open the phone lines, we're going to talk with Dr. Leon Pottles about the recent statements made by Cardinal Raymond Burke on what he calls the man crisis in the church. Dr. Leon Pottles is a regular guest. He's senior editor of Touchstone, a journal of mere Christianity, and he's authored the book, The Church Impotent, The Feminization of Christianity. Dr. Pottles, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks very much for having me.
Cardinal Burke spoke extensively about what he called the man crisis in the church, and he attributes a lot of the feminization of the Roman Catholic Church to modern feminism. Is this merely, this feminization problem, merely a modern problem?
No, it isn't. Most people who commonly assume that it's just happened, but it has not. Since the Middle Ages, for the past 800 years, people have commented on the lack of men in the church. And as long as you've had statistics, which has been the past 200 or 300 years, it's pretty clear that the ratio of men to women in the congregation ranges from 3-2 to 2-1, that men have for centuries kept their distance from the churches.
One of the things that he talks about is what he calls the collapse of catechesis in the church. How would you describe that contributing factor to the feminization of Christianity?
Well, I think it is certainly a factor just in weakening Christianity overall. But I do think that men at least like to think of themselves as being hard-headed and strong-minded and basing their decision on facts rather than emotions. And it has been true that catechism in the church has stressed the past generation or two, has stressed feelings rather than facts. And the feelings are often feminine feelings as well.
He also talks about liturgical reform, which kind of goes hand-in-hand with something that I think that got the headlines from Cardinal Burke's comments and in his interview. He spoke about the advent of not just the altar boy, but the altar girl, so to speak, the acolyte, the female acolyte, and how this has turned some men or future men away from the priesthood. What are your thoughts?
I think there's a small factor in it. again, he's not aware of, because most people have never studied this. It's been a long-term problem. Now, especially if you think about Catholic altar boys who wear basically dresses. You know, if an activity is clearly masculine, like military or hiking, that having women participate in it is no problem. Men won't think of the army as feminine or hiking as feminine. But if you have an activity which certainly it looks feminine, namely being an altar server, unless it's reserved exclusively for males, it's going to be identified as something feminine. The Jews discovered that 200,000 years ago when they decided that they no longer to try to fight after they lost to the Romans, that Torah study was reserved exclusively for men. Women just couldn't do it. They're not capable of doing it. Of course, not true. But the thing is, Torah study, mainly spending all your time studying Torah and letting the women take care of the unimportant stuff like the family and the business, was reserved for men who were basically pacifists and had to be reserved for men because it looked rather effeminate. And in modern times, Jews have turned against that model of being Jewish and have become much more active and even militaristic in Israel.
What other factors have contributed to the feminization of Christianity that Cardinal Burke takes note of?
Well, the one that I'm sure he would accept as just the way life is that, again, in the Middle Ages, theologians and preachers began identifying receptivity and femininity. They followed Aristotle on this, and they said, well, got to be receptive to be a Christian, and to be receptive to be feminine. So the more feminine you are, the better Christian you are. Of course, this does not go well with men. And added to that, which I discovered recently, and I'm doing a new book on the subject, is that the Middle Ages were very violent. The murder rate has declined 90% since the Middle Ages in Europe, and rape has probably declined as much, if not more. And the clergy, about the time of the Reformation, began cracking down on male violence and male sexuality, which was absolutely necessary. But to do this, they also said, well, anything that excites young men, like sports or dancing or fireworks, is forbidden. And this did not go over well with men. And so their attempts to both convince men to be feminine and convince men to give up anything that men might find exciting helped alienate men from the church.
You have noted many times in our conversations and in your writings that it's been a kind of a war of attrition in a lot of ways. Men have simply dropped out. You cited those proportions and those statistics early in our conversation. But I guess a question that remains there is, while the church, through increasing feminization, has become less attractive to men, has it become more attractive to women, or are women simply those who are left over after the men leave?
Well, basically, initially, simply women were left over. Women were told that they had to be obedient. To be feminine was to be obedient and receptive, and they should obey the clergy. And, of course, the women accepted this to some extent. Sometimes they had no choice in the matter. And sometimes, of course, they had conflicting authorities. They were told to obey your clergyman, obey your pastor, but also obey your husband. So women could play off one against the other, often did, to the disgruntlement of the husband. But more recently, women were basically left, but even they are leaving now as they enter into previously male-dominated areas of life, business and politics, things like that. They're adopting male attitudes. And one of the attitudes they're adopting is, well, we really don't need religion. That's not for us. And the number of women in the church is also falling fairly rapidly, to extreme extents in places like Germany. And this has panicked the churches. They're losing their last constituency. And this has been a source, they think, that feminism is some sort of feminism is a solution to this, to keeping the women. But I don't think it'll work because it's not the thing that women are interested in. The women are adopting the male attitude to religion. Why bother?
So how would you describe the role of modern feminism in this entire, in the man crisis, as it is called? How would you describe its role?
In two ways. In some sense, it's contributed to it in that it just takes the focus off the lack of men. You know, and say, well, the problem is women leaving the church. Well, it's true that it's happening, but what happened to the men who left centuries ago? So it's taken the focus. And Cardinal Wright was definitely correct about that. He said, we haven't talked about why there are so few men in the church. And feminism has simply taken the focus off that long-standing problem and put it on the more recent problem of why women are leading the church. But if they solved a long-standing problem, they would also solve a more recent problem. It's also contributed, but most people are not aware how bizarre feminist theologians can be. I remember reading a big Presbyterian theological conference. One of the women theologians put forward, she considered a standard, totally acceptable understanding of crucifixion as divine child abuse. You know, and when the laity heard this, they were horrified. But she said, well, that's a standard feminist. Everybody thinks that the crucifixion is child abuse. And people don't know how bizarre feminist theology really is in its many manifestations. And that has really hurt the proclaiming of the gospel. But it's a total distortion or obliteration of the gospel.
What has been the results of that longstanding problem among the religious, among the clergy?
Well, the clergy, of course, have been affected by this. Until very recently, the clergy in all churches was exclusively male. But they were men whom most men regarded as not very masculine. And this sometimes was justified because weak men tend to be attracted to the clergy because they only had to deal with women. Other more normal men were basically stung by this and would exaggerate their masculinity. And it was one of the sources, many historians think, of the chronic problem of seduction. The clergy sometimes fought through their masculine by developing harem in their congregations. And, you know, say, well, look, you got one wife, I've got 10 wives on the sly. So it has affected the clergy that they, like other men, do not like to have their masculinity questioned.
Dr. Leon Pottles is our guest. We're talking about recent statements made by Cardinal Raymond Burke on the man crisis in the church. A little more with him on the other side of the break, and then we're going to open the lines and get your answer to the question, why is Sunday morning disproportionately female?
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Lord God, thou hast made me a pastor and teacher in the church. Pastors know they aren't perfect, but they are to be cherished and supported. Learn more at acelc.net and register for our next conference on the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the ministry, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Pastors aren't perfect, but they are a gift from God. Learn how you can support them at acelc.net.
I will certainly bring it all to destruction.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea,
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Dr. Leon Pottles about some recent statements made by Cardinal Raymond Burke on what he calls the man crisis in the church. Sunday morning is disproportionately female, and this is across all denominational boundaries. Why is that? That's a question I want your answer to when we conclude our conversation with Dr. Pottles here in about 10 minutes on Issues Etc. You can give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. We'll have open lines following our conversation with Dr. Pottles. 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or leave your answer to that question and others that we posted at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Pottles, before we were talking about what Cardinal Burke has called the man crisis, and you say that this is a long trend since medieval times in the church, what's the relationship between that and another subject that you've written extensively about, and that is the priestly abuse scandal in the Roman Catholic Church?
Well, there is certainly a connection in that, again, sometimes the clergy was a refuge for men of uncertain masculinity, both homosexuals and pederasts. And both the Catholic and Protestant clergy were a refuge for this. But more importantly, that, you know, being human beings, clergy sinned. However, men seized upon this to say that, see, this proves that that the clergy cannot be trusted, that Christianity is not a valid valid for men. It leads men astray. That the particular, again, with both Protestants and Catholics, a particular point of controversy, a sore point, has been confession among Catholics and pastoral counseling among Protestants. That almost everyone who gives confession, and has been for 800 years, women. Men do not do confession. And similarly, women are almost always the recipients of pastoral counseling. And this provides opportunity for seduction. It happens rarely, but it does happen. And of course, men think, why is my pastor, why is my priest talking to my wife for hours? And what are they talking about? So this has been a chronic problem in the church.
One of the other things I wanted to return to with you is the issue of the issue that Cardinal Burke raised on, I would say, liturgical assistants. We would say altar boys or altar girls. You mentioned before that that if it's not an exclusively male activity, it becomes easily becomes associated with the feminine. And this is what Cardinal Burke had to say when it came to altar girls serving as altar boys. Young boys don't want to do things with girls. It's just natural. He says, I think that this has contributed to a loss of priestly vocation. It requires certainly manly discipline to serve as an altar boy in service at the side of a priest. And most priests have their first deep experience of the liturgy as altar boys. That's what Burke had to say in this interview recently. What would be your response there?
Well, I think he's basically right that especially boys, as they're growing up, differentiate themselves from girls, that the boy being born of a mother has to learn, well, I'm not like my mother, I'm different from her, I have to develop a different identity. And so they tend to either differentiate themselves and reject the feminine. Anything that's feminine or girly is something a boy does not want to do. And it's sometimes arbitrary. I mean, Scots and we're skirts, you know, but American boys do not wear skirts, and although the skirt is actually probably biologically better than for male fertility. So it's sometimes arbitrary. But, you know, what's blue, it's boys, pink for girls. But it's so boys, especially boys, again, are going through a process by developing their masculine identity. Here's an activity which doesn't look, is not very masculine anyway. In fact, most people think it's sort of feminine, religion. Secondly, especially all boys, hey, they're wearing dresses. And that, therefore, you know, a boy is reluctant to begin with. And then if girls can do it, the boys will say, okay, let the girls do it. I don't want to do it anyway.
And then does that have a cascade effect in the future population of the clergy?
I think so. I think that, again, that for boys to see what a priest does, to see what a what kind of work he does is important. And there's, especially nowadays, there's so few priests that it's unlikely, unless he served as an altar boy, that a boy would ever even speak to a priest in his whole life.
So to summarize it, Cardinal Burke said in the interview, the activities in the parish and even the liturgy have been so influenced by women, have become so feminine that in many places men simply do not want to get involved. Has he accurately described the basic situation on the ground today?
Yes, and it's, however, he's mistaken. It's not new. It's been like that for centuries. The previous situation in the 1950s was very little different from this today. So it was, and what he may be thinking about, he's my age, right after the Second World War, because of the trauma of the war, a lot of men, so there was a religious revival among men briefly, because they saw battle, they saw slaughter, you know, men, you know, thinking about ultimate things, life and death. And there was a small religious revival among men, both in Britain and the United States. And that's, again, he's my age, so we both experienced that, but that's faded off. But that was only temporary. And prior to that, men were very, kept their distance from the church.
This is obviously not exclusively a Roman Catholic problem, although you speak more in terms of that aspect of it. How would you describe a similar phenomenon in the shorter history of American Protestantism?
Oh, it's very similar. The very, very, very beginning, Cotton Mather up in New England, the 17th century, said, "It's nice that all you women are here. Basically, where are the men?" And they, you know, they just very beginning at American Protestantism, men just, the church is fine for women, be better things to do. So it's been a long-term problem among all denominations. Some are extremely feminized, like the Christian Scientists, you want to consider themselves Christian, consider them Christian. Others, the Episcopal Church is very feminized. Generally, again, it's a 3-to-2 ratio in the congregations, but among active laity, it's more like 4-to-1, female to male. And the congregations that seem to do better are some evangelical congregations which emphasize male headship, that they tell men that you have a place in the family, you're the spiritual head of the family, you're not responsible for defending and supporting the family, but you're also the spiritual head of the family, and that's very important. And convincing men that they are the spiritual heads of the family has had some significant effect in bringing men back into the church. It's what a sociologist in University of Virginia, Brad Wilcox, describes as soft patriarchy. That is, father head of the church, but he's an affectionate father. He not only provides and protects, but he's concerned with the spiritual welfare and for the emotional welfare of his family. And among these patriarchs, evangelical patriarchs, they're extremely close to their wives and children, and a very, very, very low incidence of any sort of physical or emotional abuse. So I think some of the evangelical churches have had the most luck in or their policies have been most successful in reaching men.
If you had a few minutes to either advise or counsel Cardinal Burke on the problem that he seems so deeply concerned about as well, that you share that concern, what would you say to him with a few minutes here?
I would say that the problem is not new, and that feminism is not the main source of the problem. The problem is men have to be told, and it's true, that to be truly masculine, you have to be a true Christian. It's paradoxical. To achieve masculine identity, masculine honor, you have to be a Christian, because to be a Christian is to be modeled after the Son of God, and this is the highest honor possible. And being the most masculine possible, he's the hero who triumphed over death. Everyone would like to protect his family and his country by not only destroying their enemies, but by protecting them from death. But Jesus is the only one who's done that. And the family is the chief way in which men are integrated into the church, emphasizing men that are the head of the family, not as a tyrant, but as a servant leader, that you're serving your family by supporting them, by protecting them, and by leading them spiritually, by going to church, by studying the Bible, by praying together. All these things are the most important thing a man can do, and that it's, and I wouldn't bother attacking feminism. That's, you know, they're dying out. But I would say concentrate on the positive aspect. Concentrate on finding a place, the true place for men in the church.
Dr. Leon Pottles is senior editor of Touchstone, a journal of Mere Christianity, and author of the book, The Church Impotent, the feminization of Christianity. You can purchase it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Pottles, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much.
All right, now I want to hear from you. Same questions are rolling around in my head. Why do you think church attendance on Sunday morning is disproportionately female? Do you have an answer for that question? Have you watched it change over the course of your life as a church-going Christian? 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live on this Monday afternoon. It's the 12th of January, coming off this interview with Dr. Leon Pottles. We're also going to give away his book, The Church Impotent, The Feminization of Christianity, that simply traces what he calls the feminization of Christianity from the Middle Ages to the present. It's a very interesting book. We'll give one copy away to the listener with the best question or comment during open lines. Why is the church attendance on Sunday morning disproportionately female? Have the inclusion of girl worship assistants, be it altar girls or acolytes or other forms of liturgical assistance, has that added to the man crisis in the church? And what about what Cardinal Raymond Burke calls rampant liturgical experimentation? Has that also contributed to the feminization of the churches? Open lines on the other side of the break. Your questions, your comments, and your thoughts on the feminization of the church. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, at issuesetc. Or leave your answer to those questions at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's Eric listening in Chicago. Hi, Eric. What's up?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I really encourage people to give to Issues Etc. as it's the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the world, I'd say, on the media.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported, and you can support the flagship of confessional liturgical Lutheranism in the media by making a secure online donation at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.